From talk to music, from Johannesburg to Israel, from sport to business, this is 101.9 Chai FM.
Hi everybody, welcome to the Chai Cooking Corner. I'm Adrian Bugatti and in my studio with me today is Daisy Tumalo. So where I met Daisy is from Pine Street Shul. She is the genius behind our brochas every Shabbos. Welcome Daisy.
Thank you so much.
I'm glad to have you on finally. I know we've been talking about it for a while. So Daisy, you've been at Pine Street for a long time. I know you've watched all the kids grow up and get married and, you know, part of the shul. When you started at the shul, you were obviously very young. Did you know anything about kosher when you started?
Started in 2001, June 2001. And there was... I didn't have a clue of kosher. Everything was new. I remember the first time it was winter, it was June, and I think the first holiday was Shavuot. So it was busy and I didn't know what was happening or what's going on here.
Okay, so 2001, we still had the ladies' guild there.
Yes.
Yeah, so at least you had some help, but it must have been like quite a shock to come in and have all these funny rules.
Yes.
And and you can't open your eggs and you can't do this and you've got to stop and wait for that and somebody's got to come switch on your stoves.
Yeah, I have to question everything they're doing there.
Yeah, okay. So like when you started, Were you a good cook before? Were you interested in cooking or, you know, baking? I mean, my favorite biscuit of yours is that Greek biscuit. But anyway, I'm just thinking about it. I'm hungry. So, what were your skills, your cooking skills and your baking skills when you started?
I don't want to lie, but nothing like that. It was just home cooking at home and all that. And everything I did there, it's basically, I learned everything there.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you've learned a lot because I think the last big function we had at shul was a bar mitzvah that I went to. And you had like panna cottas there and everything. Yeah. So that's a far cry from the biscuits we used to start, the biscuits and the chocolate cakes we used to have. The plain everyday standard, every Shabbat standard brocha of most places is chips, popcorn, cake and a few biscuits, usually frozen. So things have changed a lot since then. I mean, the kitchen was renovated while you were there. So you've got a nice big kitchen now. What are the things you've most learned? Like besides the kosher, like what recipes or what skills have you learned that you think have done the most for you? Let's put it this way.
It's baking.
The baking skills.
Yeah, the baking. And I'm not a baking person, but a big one.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you could have fooled me.
And I love cooking mostly. Mm. Yeah, I love cooking mostly, but it's baking. A lot of recipe to do and biscuits, cakes, and lasagnas, doing them from scratch. It's amazing. It's amazing that you can make a meal. Yeah. From the scratch.
Yes, yeah. It is. That's one of my favorite things is trying to get people to understand that making stuff from scratch is so rewarding because it's so much more delicious than buying things in a can or pre-packed or frozen or anything like that. So your baking, I mean, you've baked for me for bat mitzvahs and all sorts of other functions. And so, it's 2001. I think I only had three kids. I didn't even have three kids. I had two kids at the time. So you've really seen me since then.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, what are your favorite biscuits?
Chuck chips.
Okay. So we're going to talk about those in a moment. Yeah. We're just going to an ad break now, and we'll be back soon.
From talk to music, from Johannesburg to Israel, from sport to business, this is 101.9 Chai FM.
And we've been talking in studio. I've got Daisy Tumalo in studio from Pine Street Shul, which is I've known her for a very long time. And we're just talking about her favorite biscuits. And I know it's a big favorite in my house is the chocolate chip biscuits. Daisy, okay, so your chocolate chip biscuits, I know every Shabbos disappear like instantly. Okay. And your cheesecakes are always, I mean, they've changed over the years and gotten more fancy and more things. What has been like, if you had a choice of anything to make for any bracha. Somebody comes to you and says, no cost, just make. What would your ideal be, do you think? What would you have on your menu?
Biscuits.
Yeah.
Is the favorite. Cheesecake.
Of course.
Yeah. Traditional chopped herring.
Yeah.
And kechel.
Your kechel is amazing.
Yeah. Maybe Danish herring.
Danish herring.
Yeah. Mustard herring, choice. And maybe some salad and fish balls.
Okay,
that
yeah.
That can go.
I know your sushi salad goes down well as well. So, okay, what kind of biscuits? I mean, you've got a huge range of biscuits. I know if I think of my house, so mine is the Greek and the chocolate chip biscuits are very popular. Your peanut butter balls, those peanut butter balls with the chocolate on,
yummy.
You have to taste those. I know those go down well. What are your favorite? I mean, I know, what are your most challenging biscuits? Let's put it this way, not your favorite biscuits, your most challenging biscuits. The ones that are the hardest for you to make.
Is the liquor. They call it stuff monkey because you've got to get the dough right. If you get it wrong, then it's a oops.
Okay.
Because you have to have certain consistency and then you're done.
Okay, so those are the ones with the raisins and stuff in. Okay, so it's more like
ginger,
It's a gingery biscuit with a hard crust. Mm. Okay. Like I said, I don't bake unless it's got yeast in it because biscuits and me, for some reason, I do bricks or little burnt offerings. No idea why. It's not a skill I've acquired. My mother, on the other hand, is the biscuit maker. So, like, what biscuits have you tried and just decided these aren't working? We're not putting them on again.
I got a recipe from someone long time ago. It was a jam biscuit. It was so complicated. And the babka.
The babka. Okay. I'll make you babka anytime. That I can do.
But that was long time ago. But I think now with the skills that I have developed and the understanding of baking throughout the years, I can try and make it
again.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that babkas for me is a big thing. I like breads and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried Purim's coming up? Have you ever tried Homintash and making your own?
No.
Okay. Maybe we must do that as a project. I've never made them either. mostly just because I'm lazy. It's so you've done that and then you've had to learn to make all the herrings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you eat any of them?
Ooh, you'll be surprised. I love chopped herring.
Okay.
So many things in that I wouldn't understand first time I was making it because there was a lady who was working there, who teach me most of the stuff. I couldn't understand how could they mix fish with apples and boiled eggs, but to get the sweet and sour taste, that was a bit odd, but it's a nice thing.
Yeah. So, and what would you never ever eat? But you make it anyway because it's on the menu.
Mm.
Is there anything?
I'm not sure.
I know in my house, like I will make, so I make my mother makes gefilte fish every year because I make bouncing balls.
Mm.
Mine don't come out right, but she's got it so that when they're doing the thing, my oldest daughter and my youngest one will actually taste the raw fish before it's even cooked to see if the consistency is right. And every time they do that, I have to leave. So that is like, you know, I mean, and the Danish herring, I make Danish herring all the time. You won't catch me eating it though. It's just not something I can do. I like the chopped herring. I like your chopped herring. There was something also that we've had to learn, and the fried fishes and when your fish balls with the sweet and sour sauce and all those. And the sushi salad, was that easy to learn to make?
Firstly to start cooking that rice, it wasn't easy, but I've got that motto that do it right first time. So I have to study the recipe. And first time I make it, I have to get it right. Otherwise, I will disappoint myself.
Oh, boy. You're quite tough on yourself in the kitchen.
So I have to get it right. And, yeah, it's not an easy thing because you have to come with, like, to decorate and garnish it. And you have to come with some ideas so it look nice.
And you're not going to attempt to make actual sushi? Or are you going to stick to having someone come do it?
I want to.
You want to?
I want to. It's fascinating to do that. Yeah. I want to.
Alan Bender taught my daughter. We did it for a birthday party. And he came and he taught all the girls how to make sushi.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
From then we now have sushi.
And also I learned by watching. So with yeah. those chefs coming and do sushi there, I've learned yeah. quite a lot. So
yes.
yeah. I've attempted to do.
That's right. Because no. for a while we had a caterer, like a professional caterer in the kitchen at Ann Street. So yeah, there was an opportunity to watch a lot. But like I know over the last, 18 years, watching your cooking and the brochas and how they've changed that, like, you know, often we used to go, oh, it's not a sponsored one. It's going to be dried out stuff. And it's not that anymore. It's like even a non-sponsored broch is like quite nice to go. And I'll sometimes say to my family, we're going to Shul for lunch today, please. I'm not making anything. Daisy will feed you. So that's a, you know, because there's always such a wide variety there, the pancakes and the crumpets and all those kind of things. If you could have any appliance in the kitchen, anything, like you could go to the Shul and say, right, I want this in the Shul kitchen. What would it be?
Mixmaster, industrial one.
The industrial one, I was going to say. I know you've got one.
Exactly. And so now I've got a new oven, massive oven, and I can't wait to use it.
I can imagine.
He's installing it, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So a lot of cooking is going to come of that, so I'm thrilled.
I know a big hit in winter in our place is the big pots of soup that you make every year, like every Shabbos. That's like a must-have, you know, to go to shul, and everybody has that. And then at home, like in your own home, in your own kitchen, do you cook at home?
I do cook. Sometimes I'm too tired to cook, but when I cook lots and freeze. That's what I've learned.
Clever. Yes, that is. Bulk cooking is something I always tell people to do when they're going shopping, you know, and you're buying like the big 9 kilos of stuff.
Yeah.
Cook it all and freeze it and then it doesn't go off. Okay. We're going to come back after this ad break. And carry on talking to Daisy all about her adventures in Pine Street's kitchen.
The best part of your day. At the heart of your community.
All the talk.
All the music.
All the news.
Hi FM.
Hi, welcome back to Chai Cooking Corner. I'm Adrian Bugatti. It's the greatest, it's the biggest, it's the Chai FM Great Big Hamantaschen Challenge. Can you help us find Joburg's number one Hamantaschen champion? It could be you. How many Hamantaschen could you eat in 5 minutes? Start practicing now because it will be worth your while. 2,000 rands in cold hard cash and 1,000 or more in vouchers to Nord Mall for the champion. Register by emailing info@chaifm.com today. The competition will be held at Nord Mall at 5 p.m. on Thursday the 14th of March. Everyone has an inner champion. Feed yours this Purim. 101.9 Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of Purim fun. Okay, so we're talking about like things at home and cooking when you're tired and all that. So what is your favorite thing to make at home?
Traditional food.
Like?
Tribe.
Okay, no.
And I have learned traditional, like Nigerian stew.
Okay.
Curries, and apparently my mom loves mac and cheese. So with mince. So
okay.
That I do. And it's mostly stuff that I've learned at shul, eh?
Yeah.
And like I said, I love cooking more than baking. So.
Yes. So you love
things,
that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pap gravy and maybe with boerewors.
Pap gravy and boerewors, huge in my place.
Yeah. Chakalaka. Yeah. You know,
okay,
we like
chakalaka. Yes.
Like spicy food. It's got to be hot.
That's it. No, for mealie-pap in my house, I've got 4 who want it soft, like soft porridge, and 2 who want it stiff. So, like, I have to take a little bit out and carry on cooking it so that it becomes hot enough to eat with your fingers.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing for me. And maybe one day we must try it at shul, pap dat. Yeah. Okay, Pop Tart is, for those who don't know, it's something very different. It's stiff pop that you spread into like almost like a baking tray in a layer, and then you fill it. Traditionally, it would be filled with meat, like minced meat or something, but I usually fill it with lentils, like a lentil stew inside. And then you cover it with another layer of mealy pop. So it's almost like a layer cake. And then you sprinkle cheese on top and melt it. That's like a big thing by us, you know, just for fun. And now, so we're talking about cakes. We, like I said, when we started at Pine Street 18 years ago, you started there. We had the chocolate cake, we had the marble cake, we had a plain vanilla cake, I think. Those were like the three cakes that were on the menu, and there was nothing else. So now we've got cheesecake. I saw on Shabbos, I saw Meltout.
Mm-hmm.
What else? What new cakes do you like making?
This famous one, red velvet cake.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, we've got a famous chocolate cake as well that we make.
Yes, that chocolate cake is something else, I have to admit. It's better than the old one. it's very dangerous. So, yes. Okay, and the cupcakes, the little cupcakes, you also do a whole lot of those.
Yeah.
And but muffins.
They're not popular. Muffins are popular, and the bulkas.
Bulkas are very popular, yes, yeah. But if you can make bulkas, you can make babkas. It's just bigger ones. So yes, now I remember we had a whole lot of bulkas, recently from you, which were very nice.
Yeah.
Especially when it's not Shabbos and you can warm them up and then you cut them open and put butter on and the butter melts. Those are very yummy. So we do that quite nicely. And then the actual meals, when we do the functions at Pine Street, I mean, you have, your kitchen has been set up so that there's covers for when you need to do meat.
Yes.
That must be a challenge because the rest of the year you're milk in that kitchen. That kitchen is milk. Yeah. And then you suddenly have to change over and it's to meat.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite meat dish to serve like for all those people? I mean, what's the easiest one to cook for like 400 people?
Choland.
Okay.
Choland. We don't actually cook. We order out.
Okay.
Now,
yeah.
When we have meat, and we just do salads.
Okay. Yeah. So you just do the salads and the stuff like that. And the lasagnas are, I know we usually have a tuna lasagna, which is delicious. I'm trying to think what the other lasagnas. It was the vegetable lasagna that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone I'm missing?
Melanzan.
Ah, that's it. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And.
And that's it. So what goes into when you're doing, somebody's booked the shul hall and you're doing the function? I mean, you know, professional caterers have all this training usually, but you kind of got thrown in the deep end all those years ago. And over the years, the shul has grown and then it shrank and then it grew again. But the brochas have become like quite a thing. Like people talk about it all the time. So when people book like functions at the shul now, which they often do. We have like the Shabbos afternoon bar mitzvahs and stuff after the brocha. That must be quite hectic because you've got the shul brocha and then you're still catering for all those other people. I know a lot of stuff comes in. I mean, you can't make everything, or do you?
We do everything now.
You do everything now?
We do everything.
Okay. That's quite a challenge.
Yeah.
So what's the biggest one we've had? Like how many people, let's put it this way, not who?
Like 400 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the ones in the tent across in the park. Yes. Those were nice with the salmon and that was where you did the panna cotta.
Yes.
And you did other little mini desserts. I can't even remember.
Chocolate mousse.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. I went for the panna cotta. Sorry. If I'm going to have a choice, I want the fancy stuff. I have expensive taste. And just so you know, I have not been able to recreate your panna cotta. I have tried a few times. I'm going to have to keep practicing.
You'll get it right.
Yeah. So that's a thing with the cooking for the thing. I'm not a dessert person. We generally at home, like for me, dessert is what I always tell people. You want to look fancy in the least amount of time with the least amount of effort. It's called an eat and mess. Eton Mace is the meringue, whipped cream, and then you make like a coulis, which is like a sauce from the berries, and then chopped up berries. And you mix it together. It's a mess. What I do for Shabbos is so that I can, you know, make it a long time ahead. I put it in a glass bowl and into the freezer. So it's called a bomb. And then just before we're going to have lunch or supper or whatever I'm serving it for, I'll take it out and turn it onto a fancy plate. And it always looks so fancy and professional. You know, if I really want to impress, then I'll grate a little bit of chocolate on the top. so that's like my thing for desserts. Things like canned fruit and then, you know, the packet cake mix. You pour that over and stick it in an oven. It works great.
So, you have to come with ideas, eh?
I need ideas that are easy, quick, and I don't have to do it. So that's it. I'm more like the cooking things. I like food. I don't do the desserts and the fancy. And like I said, if I want biscuits, I phone my mother or I get from you. So those are the things, you know, that we do. But if you could cook with anybody, like any chef in the world, or bake with anybody, who would be your dream?
Oof.
Who would be your cooking idol?
Is it Oliver?
Jamie Oliver.
Yeah.
Okay, so I like him. I love his stuff. It's too complicated for me. He's got like 100 ingredients in everything.
I once saw him doing a chocolate sauce just by watching. Mm. And I'm good with watching. And I went to Shul and I tried it and it worked. And I'm using now on brownies.
Your brownies are. Yes, that's another problem.
That
there.
Was, I don't know how many years I saw that. So I love watching and checking what she's putting in there.
So you watch the cooking shows, of course?
Yep.
Which ones? Which is your favorite?
The MasterChef.
Yeah. Australia, England, America, anyone?
England.
Okay, now I prefer the Australian one. So we have very different. I just found the English one, I don't know, different. Maybe it's just the format that's different. But for me, the Australian one is my favorite. I love watching them cook. And you know that the winner this year was Jewish. No, sorry, second guy. The winner wasn't. It was a Malaysian guy. So Ben was the second guy. Okay, definitely not a kosher cook though. That's for sure. So when you're getting the ingredients and things, like have you ever started cooking and you've suddenly realized that you don't have, you're like three quarters of the way through and you've suddenly realized, I don't have it.
Nightmare. That is a nightmare.
So what's that? Okay, what recipe was that? When did that happen to you?
And I have to miss it because I remember, I think it was red velvet cake because I forgot about it and the client needed it for Shabbos for their party. And have to come with some ideas. And it was Shabbos coming. It was Friday. I have to do it quickly before we knock off. So I have to give it a miss.
Oh my goodness. That was.
Yeah. I think it was the second time I was trying it. The first time I was trying it.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've never tried the red velvet cake. I don't know why. I've eaten them. I just never made one because I don't know. Maybe it's just me. For me, the red velvet cake is with the beetroot and everything. And I know most people don't make it that way. They do the chocolate cake or with red coloring in. Which is why most of them are so delicious.
I think with me the problem was the buttermilk. I have to Google it and get the easy one to make buttermilk. Apparently just make ordinary milk with lemon.
Oh.
Or cream with lemon and then you've got your buttermilk.
Okay. That's new because I know cream and lemon would make me sour cream. So maybe curdles milk. That'd be interesting. Yeah. Cause I do spend a lot of time on Google looking for equivalents of stuff when I'm cooking and when I'm doing the meal planning for people, you know, to find out because they'll ask for something like, there was one the other day that asked for Old Bay spice. I'm like, who? So I had to go Google it, and there's like now 15 recipes on Old Bay Spice. Now I've got to find one that I can actually, I have the ingredients at home and I can do it. I never ever looked. I've also had like once or twice where, something's asked for fish sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of like a Worcester sauce, but it's just fish. It's made from anchovies. And as I was about to add it to the food, I suddenly realized that I was making mince. I couldn't put the fish sauce in. And I'm standing there, I'm going, okay, now what do I do? I need the flavor because it used quite a lot. So I'm Googling, if you don't have fish sauce, what do you have? I think I must have used like a ton of soya sauce in it. So that's been, you know, it's one of the reasons why I always tell people you've got to plan beforehand. And all the chefs will tell you your mise en place, which is your preparation beforehand, that everything must be on the table before you even start, so that there's no rushing in the last minute, or there's no like, oh my God, I've forgotten this. I haven't got that. So that's an important part of it as well. Now, when you get a client in, have you ever had anything that was like a really such a weird request that you've thought, who are you and what planet do you come from? And I'm not making that.
No, I can't remember.
And people trying new stuff, are they prepared to try new stuff, or is it more like people want the same old tried and tested?
They do. Yeah.
They prefer the tried and tested.
Yeah. They used to give us their recipe. They do with what the guest will prefer or like. So we do them at school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a nice thing. And then people, I mean, I know you've started your little Daisy's Kitchen, where we can phone the shul. We order from Daisy, and you can order your biscuits and your kichel and your herrings and all sorts of other things. So, that's always a big help when you're like needing last minute stuff. I know I've done it more than once. My mother's done it. My mother-in-law's done it. You know, you just all of a sudden needed it. Okay. So before we carry on, I'm going to give my recipe for this show. This is one I tried the other day. It's quite new. It's nice. It's fun. It's interesting. The kids loved it. I did not make enough. Because according to the recipe that I found, it's basically like you've made, it's the tortilla wraps. So it's one tortilla per person. Okay. That didn't feed anybody in my house except the smaller people. I landed up having to like almost triple the recipe just to feed everyone. I'm not sure how they did it because I found the one was more than enough for me. So it's called tuna quesalada, quesadilla, sorry. I must say it properly, with salsa. And it is so easy to make. My biggest problem was I didn't have a big enough frying pan. So I had to do one at a time because that was the only thing that I had one frying pan that just fitted my wrap. So if so you can make smaller ones and then you just need to make more, but I'd taken the big wraps. So they won four soft tortillas. Happily, you can buy them in packets of six. So you can make three instead of just two. 8 tablespoons of ready-made tomato salsa or homemade. So what I did for this was, my cheat was I opened a can of tomato and onion mix, and I took some frozen corn and I added it all a little bit to that. And I chopped up a little bit of green pepper into it. Then they want 4 spring onions chopped any way you like. It doesn't have to be even. It doesn't have to be pretty. It's just chop it up. One can of tuna drained. So tuna in brown, please, not oil. 100 grams of canned sweet corn. Now, canned sweet corn is not the creamed sweet corn. It's just the plain corn kernels. This is an American recipe. Then they want a half a green pepper or a half a red pepper. I used both. Like I said, I had to like triple my recipe just about. Seeded, finely diced. 150 grams of mozzarella or any kind of melting cheese that goes nicely with it. And then olive oil for brushing. So you take 2 plates, you place one tortilla on each plate, spread the tortilla with, or just spread wine, the tortillas with the salsa that you've made. Sprinkle your spring onion, your tuna, your mealies, and your cheese in the, on, and then you take a plain tortilla and you put it on top and you press it down so that you try and get it to squash together to make a sandwich. Now for the hard part. Okay, this was a bit of a challenge for me. You heat the frying pan, or two if you've got them big enough, or if you've used smaller tortillas, then you can heat, you know, we should have a normal size pan. Brush the bottom of the pan with oil. You place the sandwich, your tortilla sandwich you've just made, the quesadilla, into the pan, and you cook it for about 2 to 3 minutes. And you press down gently with a spatula. Don't press too hard. You don't want to break the tortillas, just so that the cheese starts to melt, holding it together. Now comes the fun part. You've got to turn this over. So they say place a plate over your frying pan and tip it over so that the quesadilla like lands on the plate. Then you have to slide it back into the pan the other side up. So you've now got your cooked side facing the top and your underside needs to go back in for another 2 to 3 minutes. And then you cut it in quarters and serve with some salad. Now, I found cutting one in half. So I, you know, you've made the sandwich and you've cut it in half. A quarter was plenty for me. Okay. But for my husband and my son, they each had a full one. There was no quarter. They each had a full one, and my son can put them away. And what was nice was it literally took 10 minutes. Everything came from a can. It was so quick and so easy. And if you can buy the ready-made salsas, then do that. You know, I do that with my pizzas. I make my own tomato thing using tomato sauce and some spices when I'm feeling, you know, not like making actual tomato sauce myself. So we're going to go to an ad break now, and we'll be back afterwards to continue talking to Daisy in the studio about Pine Street Shul's cooking.
Stay relevant and up to
date. This is 101.9
High FM. Hi, welcome back to High Cooking Corner. I'm Adrian Bugatti, and in studio with me today is Daisy Tamalo, who runs the kitchen at Pine Street Shul. So, Daisy, if I give you an ingredient, let's think of something fun to do. So I'm going to give you black beans. Ever cooked with those?
Salad.
So you'd make a salad.
Okay. Tin one day, can one day.
Okay. I'm okay. So what would, like, if you're going to look at beans, besides your normal three bean salad with the baked beans and the green beans and I can't remember what the other beans are in the salad, what would be your bean salad to go to? Or your bean dish. It doesn't even have to be a salad. It could be supper.
I've never cooked beans.
Never?
And I do not like beans.
You don't like them? Oh, I
love,
goodness.
Like, I love lentil soup.
Lentil soup.
Yeah.
That's a bean. Well, kind of.
Yeah. Or stew. That's okay. Nice. Mm. And yeah, because we made a salad with the lentils.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
Very nice.
Yes,
with beetroots and.
I do remember yeah, that, and, yes.
And feta.
That's nice.
Very nice.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what about I'm trying to think of something that you guys you don't normally see. So what has been like the biggest challenge, like a recipe that you've really wanted to try and it just, you know, you've started and sort of thought, what am I doing? This is too much for me, or, you know, and then carried on and it was amazing. Like, what surprised you?
The spring rolls.
Oh, yeah?
The spring rolls, the tuna cigars.
Yes.
Tuna triangles. And, yeah, that was most difficult thing at first to do, but now I'm enjoying it. But it can take the whole day, hey?
Wow.
Because I use phyllo.
Yes.
Yeah, I use a phyllo pastry. And just to get and roll in this thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Imagine if they want, like, 140 of the spring rolls.
Oh,
and
no.
140 of the tuna triangles or samosas. So it can be the whole day. But you end up enjoying that.
Sure.
Because you're rolling different shapes with the phyllo.
Yeah. And baklava?
You're
doing the phyllo. You haven't tried it.
Yeah.
Okay, that was fun to make.
Yeah.
Except that I found a recipe that made no sense whatsoever while I was doing it. So I thought there's got to be an easier way. I went online and I found a much easier way and they were amazing. And I gave it to a Greek friend of mine. He said, you're now honorary Greek. but he did say, we don't normally fold them this way. Like, yes, I know, but it was taking me 2 hours per roll. So, you know, it was like they wanted it all fanned and it was very fancy. So those kind of things. Okay. So you've been obviously 18 years. You've seen everybody, you know, the shill change and grow and that. How have you grown? Like, what do you feel besides your cooking has been your biggest growth? I mean, like, is it, I don't know, management or patience or, like daring, you know, are you more adventurous?
I'll say adventurous and patience and be able to work under pressure.
Yeah, you get a lot of pressure. Yeah, yes, I do know that.
That's helped me to grow a lot and to be calm.
To be calm.
Yeah.
Yes, like with everybody invading your kitchen on Shabbat. Me included.
Yeah.
That's how I cornered Daisy this week to come on the show. Went into the kitchen. I said, you will be on the show on Tuesday. End of story. Discussion over. So yes, I can imagine, you know, I've seen over the years how the shul changed and how the kitchen grew and how much more is coming out of our kitchen, which amazes me because it's pretty much like anybody's home kitchen. It's not any bigger than most of our kitchens at home. smaller than some, you know, I know, and different. But the thing is that it always amazes me when we sit down to the dinners that there's like all this food, like three or four different lasagnas, and they just keep coming. They run out and out comes some more. I think we run out of plates more than we run out of food at dinner some days. So yes, I'm trying to think what this week was that I liked that was different. You've changed the recipe of your cheesecake. That I do know. You changed the base.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That I did notice.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else. I mean, the cheesecake was absolutely thing. One day I'm going to challenge you to do my cheesecake, which is parv.
Oh.
We do a parv cheesecake because I've got two people who can't have dairy.
Oh.
So so I decided to learn. If you had a Purim dinner, now you know Purim is all about making fun and doing things. What would you make that would like make people stop and go, hey? What kind of thing do you think you would challenge us with? What kind of meal?
I would say South African dish.
South African dish.
Yeah, pap, gravy and maybe boerewor rolls and chicken.
Okay.
Yeah, bread. Can do gravy or chakalaka.
So I remember, Ellen did a wedding and it was an African wedding, kosher. And we had skombuti. So everybody, it was very funny. And we did the chakalaka, we did the morocco, we had the stew, we had the pap. It was very different, very.
Yeah, and it's nice.
Yeah, it is. So we doing, my Purim dinner at home is always treif. We call it that. Basically what I do is, it took a while to get used to the idea to think about it, but it's only once a year. Then I do like, cheeseburgers. So, in the beginning it was, the parv burger patties with the cheese on top. Now we can actually get the parv cheeses. Mm. And I just saw this week, at Pick and Pay, the feta cheese, dairy free. And I think it was pecorino cheese as well, also like
awesome.
A special cheese. So what I do is I make like I take my burgers and I fold the slice of the dairy-free cheese into a quarters and stick it inside my mince, close the mince over. And when you cut it open, you've got this cheese melting out.
Yep.
So for the people who don't keep kosher, it's not a big problem. But for us, it's like, what? You know, I've learned like the cream, you know, to use the creams, the riches and the Oily Whip and all that. And I've had some successes, obviously. Oily Whip, sometimes you've got to be very careful.
Yeah, very, very careful with Oily Whip.
Yeah, it curdles in the middle of your cooking. Even if you are using the cooking one, it doesn't always work. But there's other like, so what strange ingredient do you think you would like to try? I know I've got in my cupboard at the moment, because I want to try and make Turkish delight, rose water. So what kind of strange thing that have you seen on the cooking shows that you've thought, I wonder if we can do that kosher? And then tried it at home and managed it at home, but not kosher.
Risotto.
Risotto is easy.
Yeah, I did try it at home, and I don't know how to make it in shul, how to introduce it to,
yeah,
to the meals. Yeah, like maybe have it cold or
yeah, warm. Cause I mean, warm would be,
Cause I saw in the one show, it was a charcoal one. It was like a Bakish, sauce inside. So.
Oh, wow.
It was.
That sounds interesting.
Very interesting. So I was like, wow. I would love to try that one.
Yeah. No, listen, I've just, you know, you watch all these cooking shows and they all use, what's it called? Truffles.
Mm.
Okay. So I ordered this year truffles. Okay. Almost had a heart attack at the price. Just, yeah. We won't be ordering them again. It was an interesting experiment. Killed the pocketbook. my bank balance kind of had a heart attack too. I've got it frozen in the freezer. I know they tell me you shouldn't do that, but it's just got such a strong taste. It's an acquired taste.
Mm.
And I did a truffle risotto, which was, that had that like black, but I didn't use quite as much. And I've used it on a very special macaroni and cheese that I make instead of with the normal white sauce, you know, your flour, your milk and all that. I made it with cream, no flour. It was just thick cream that you boiled up and added your cheese to, and then I grated the thing. But finding dairy-free cheeses. Tell me, when we come back, we're going to talk about how do you get around the allergies and the fussiness of people in shul. We're going to an ad break now.
A frequency like no other. 101.9 High FM.
Hi, welcome back to Chai Cooking Corner. I'm Adrian Bugatti, and in studio with me is Daisy Tumalo from Pine Street Shul. So I'm talking about how do you get around when we're catering functions? I mean, it's a small kitchen. You've got a limited sort of amount of space. It's not like you're a caterer. And people come with allergies. I can't have this. I mean, I'm one of those. I can't have this. I can't have that. How do you, I mean, have you learned about new allergies that you didn't know existed? Do you do something special? I know that you often do fish when there's a meat meal that you've got for one or two people who are vegetarian. So what about allergies? Have you ever had like a function where they've said, well, you can't have anything with, and it's like half your recipes?
Imagine somebody say, I'm allergic to onion, or half of my family is allergic to onion.
Oh my goodness.
So I had one.
Yeah.
With onion. So
that's
you
like
have
my
to,
standard ingredient in
exactly,
pretty much everything.
Exactly. And it was a challenge because we have to take onion in every recipe we do. And
yes,
hardly everything in.
You're left with very
exactly.
little. Yes.
Yeah. So that was a bit, but we managed.
Okay. Oh, I've got a message here. Daisy, the best crumpet maker in town. What's your secret? So,
it's
what's
old
your secret?
Recipe.
It's an old recipe.
Very old recipe. I found it there.
Oh, you found it actual?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very, very old recipe.
Okay, so do you know, tell us what it is. Or can you remember it?
It's 6 cups of...
I'm challenging you now. Sorry.
Of,
flour.
6 eggs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 12 cups of flour.
Sure.
And you can just see how you can just subtract your ingredients if you want to do single thing. And 2 cups of milk and 2 cups of sugar. Self-raising flour, actually. Mm. Salt. And you put maybe 2 teaspoons of baking powder. And voila, you've got your...
Okay, so you're using baking powder and self-raising flour, which explains why they are the size that they are.
So that
does sound good. She's right. That is definitely the best crumpets in town. I love those. Those are my favorites. We do them in stacks. So you'll often find my family, at least some of us, with stacks of the pancakes with the syrup and the stuff in between it, because they are good. So you use self-raising flour and baking powder. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've never tried that. I'm going to have to. How many does that recipe make? Because that's a big recipe.
A lot.
And they're usually like amongst the first things gone at the
breakfast. Kids love it. Because now we make it fancy. We do cream, we do frozen veggies. And
the big kids love it too.
Syrup and cinnamon and sugar.
Sure.
And now we've got Nutella, chocolate spread, which is part of. So kids go mad for that.
I must have missed that. Because I haven't seen that one. It's a good thing too.
Yeah.
So yes, they're definitely the crumpets. Yeah, those I know I can see those. The crumpets and the cheesecake, we have to, if you're not in front of line for those things, you're not going to get them because they are gone. So definitely that. And, I know you like at the Brochas, we've been talking about cakes and sweets and food and everything, but we often have fruit and things. Like, when you, over the years, if there's been fruit that you've like never had before and, when you first started and you suddenly learned what they were,
Yeah.
So which fruits were those? Like what was the most, and which ones did you like and which ones do you hate?
Pineapple.
Yes.
Oh gosh.
And yet that disappears off the table very quickly, I know. And you always seem to get nice flavorful fruit, I must admit. The pineapple disappears quickly. Have you ever tried dragon fruits?
Once saw it. I don't think I like it.
You know what I found about dragon fruit? Dragon fruit makes an interesting contrast in it, but it has absolutely no flavor.
It doesn't have a flavor, but it makes the platter look beautiful.
Yeah,
it's
very decorative. Yeah. I'd like to try get those red ones because the ones we get cut, it's white, and I want the red one. Okay. Thank you so much for finally coming in, Daisy. It's been wonderful chatting to you.
Thanks
and,
for having me.
I can't wait to see what's next. And this is Adrian from High FM Cooking Corner, and we'll speak to you in 2 weeks' time.